Rite Aid.com/RakenPoints for details.
I didn't want to talk. She just sat with me. That was all I really needed.
We got back. One day he called me out of the blue. And it's comforting to know that I always can count on him to have my back.
She called me from time to time. I really didn't think I needed any help.
It took me from being really depressed to feeling like somebody cared. It gave me some hope. Just that one text.
Be there. Your call, your presence, your words, your support. Be there and help save a life. Learn more about preventing suicide at veteranscrisisline.net.
From our studios in the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, we welcome you in. It is the Gym Class Midweek Wednesday edition on KGYM at 4 past the hour, 3 o'clock. Great show coming up for you today. We're going to be talking Iowa State Texas Christian football. Carlos Mendez from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram will be joining us. That'll be coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Chris Liss of RotoWire.com, all set to answer your fantasy football questions. As we get ready for week number two of the fantasy football season, we will do that. Bowling Night in America coming up tonight, and we will have a preview courtesy of May City Bowl, located on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids. And lots of things to get to here on a jam-packed Wednesday edition of the program. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes, Alex Kuhn on the other side of the glass, our producer. It is the Wednesday edition of the show as we take it through the 3 o'clock hour. Local programming block is underway. As soon as we are done tonight, I should say as soon as the APC is done tonight, they will hand it over on 107.5 FM to Twins Baseball. Twins will try to make it two in a row over the Cleveland Indians. Playing a little spoiler right now. Mr. Mark Dukes will join that game in progress tonight. Oh, I'm sorry, Detroit. Why did I say Cleveland?
Twins have just played Cleveland.
That's why.
Yeah.
But they spoiled Detroit last night.
Did. Really good performance from Kyle Gibson and the offensive lineup, an 8-1 victory. And it was just fun to see, a win by a significant margin, shall we say.
You didn't have to sweat or anything like
that. No, I didn't have to worry about the bullpen like I have all year.
Well, I think you still have to worry about it. You just didn't have to worry about it last night.
That's correct.
So Twins baseball coming up tonight for you here on KGYM. A few afternoon baseball games we'll keep you abreast of as far as what they're doing today. The Cubs look like they're going to get their magic number down to one as they lead the Cardinals. John Lester, my gosh. David Ross, my gosh. It is ninth home run today. Cubs with a 4-0 lead. Lester with a 3-hit shutout right now going into the ninth inning. Not sure if he'll come out for the ninth inning, but we shall see how that plays out.
Yeah, Cubs about to wrap it up at Busch Stadium, up 4-0 in the ninth inning, one out right now. Two other games in progress. San Diego leading San Francisco, 1-0 in the second. And Tampa Bay all over Detroit. In fact, that's gone final. Tampa Bay, 8-1. Everything else, well, actually a couple other afternoon games. Mets and Washington coming up, and Dodgers and Yankees as well, and then everything else under the lights.
Yeah, so there you go. Baseball getting right down to it. They also came out with the schedules for next year, the 2017 baseball schedules. And this isn't problem. It doesn't have the fanfare of the NFL schedule release or anything like that, granted, because you know who you're going to play in Major League Baseball. It's just a matter of when you are going to play them. I guess the one thing that is constantly changing is the fact that the interleague series change each and every year. Next year, NL Central goes up against the AL East, which you can make an argument is baseball's toughest division. AL Central gets the NL West next year. The AL West goes up against the NL East next year. Those are your interleague series, besides your natural rivalries, like Angels, Dodgers, White Sox, Cubs, Mets, Yankees, things like that.
Opening series, the Cubs at the Cardinals among the list of games for early April. The Twins will be at home against the Royals. Your White Sox, Scott, will open at home against Detroit.
Twins will be at home, too. Over and under of the opening day temperature at Target Field next April 3rd. What would you set it at?
Probably less than my age. Maybe 59.
Okay. I wasn't going to say anything. I wasn't going to say. I will take the under on the temperature.
Okay.
At 59 degrees. So there you go. Some baseball will open on Sunday, April the 2nd next year. Giants at Arizona and the Yankees at Tampa. You're asking yourself, why in the world is baseball opening at Tropicana Field and with the last place, maybe the most disappointing team of 2015, the Arizona Diamondbacks? Well, Mark, that is because next year will be the 20th anniversary of those two teams coming into Major League Baseball, Tampa Bay and Arizona. So, ergo, that is why they are going to open the season home.
Makes sense.
So, tip of the hat for Major League Baseball to the Tampa Bay Rays. Probably the only game that will be on national television for Tampa next year.
Great lineup of college football games, including some dandies in the Big Ten this weekend. Of course, North Dakota State will be at Iowa, the five-time defending national FCS champions, blowing into Iowa City with about 7,000-plus fans, and see what the Bison can do. We'll get the Bison perspective on Friday on the show. But the poll question today, KGYMRadio.com, reads like this. Which Big Ten game will be this weekend's best? Ohio State at Oklahoma, Oregon at Nebraska, or Michigan State at Notre Dame? Thanks to Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids next to Home Depot and behind Taco Jones.
Yeah, it's going to be the Big Ten's make or break. I don't know if make or break week is fair. I don't think that's a fair statement, but it's going to be the Big Ten's week to either take, to either get a lot of applause or to be taken out behind the woodshed this week, depending on how they do. The Big Ten is off to a pretty good start as far as the conferences, Power Five leagues around the country is concerned, but this is the Big Ten's big week coming up.
Well, Oklahoma's back is against the wall as well after losing to Houston opening week, and Ohio State goes into Norman, and I really got to believe Oklahoma is going to be ready for that football game, but whether it be enough to beat Ohio State, we shall see.
Let us know what you think on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line at 319-366-1600. Looking to ask a question or give your 2 cents in on today's topic, you can do that there. You can also check them out online at jkainvest.com. Trusted advice for your financial future. Scott and Mark with you here on the Wednesday edition of the show. We will talk fantasy football. We will do that coming up here in just a little bit. We will have as well, oh, by the way, I should mention that our fantasy football segment with Chris Liss, as well as the APCs with Tristan Cockcroft, brought to you by Imon Communications. And we will talk with, we'll talk with Chris coming up live from Germany. As long as his daughter doesn't fire up the computer. We will talk with him coming up here in just a little bit. Did you see where NBC announced today that they made $250 million, they have figured, on the Olympics?
Wow.
Yeah, darn right, wow. Despite the fact that ratings were down as far as the Olympics, they had to throw out a lot of make-good ads because they guaranteed a 17, I think it was a 17, it's either a 17 rating or a 17 share, not sure which one. Reason for the fact they made all that money, a lot of people are speculating, is the fact that they had so many platforms for their events. NBC Sports Network, regular NBC, CSNBC, whatever the case may be, they could throw around some ads, make good ads on there.
Still, and that's a hunk of money.
That is a hunk of money. They are a happy bunch of peacocks over there at NBC today. And so, yeah, they're very much looking forward to the next two Olympic Games, yes, which may serve as the understatement of the day today, as they came out with that earlier
on. The next
on.
Summer Games, Japan. Is that right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I can check that out. They are both, one's in Japan and one's in China, I want to say. I'm not sure. Let me look. I will find that out. I will find that out for you.
2020 Summer Games in Tokyo.
Tokyo.
Yeah.
Okay. I can find out the other one, too. Unless you find out first. That is a that's a hint, Mark.
Pretty quick for my age, Scott.
I know you are, and you're better on the Google machine than I am. Where the next Olympics?
2018 Winter Olympics
Korea.
In South Korea.
Korea. There you go. So there'll be a whole bunch of events that are going to be all done. People will be complaining about that too, even more than they did this year when it was pretty much. You pretty much got to see everything live, but the Olympics on NBC, very, very fruitful this year. 319-366-1600. If you want to talk about which Big Ten game is the best coming up this weekend on a great slate of games, or just anything on your mind today.
Speaking of the Big Ten Network announced today that their sites for the first 6 weeks – of its new show, BTN Tailgate. And I think it's going to be a really good one. September 24th at Michigan State. October 1st at Nebraska. October 8th at Ohio State. October 15th at Indiana. October 22nd at the University of Iowa. The Krause Family Plaza, south end of Kinnick Stadium. And then the 29th, be Illinois.
Iowa playing Wisconsin that day on October the 22nd. I think a good idea. Yeah, it's pretty much a direct ripoff of ESPN's College Game Day, but, you know, it is what it is, right? There'll be a few differences, I'm sure, but, yeah, it's going to be a get-together. You're going to have all the signs behind the hosts, whatever the case may be, and instead of talking about the country, they'll talk about the Big Ten games. And probably talk a lot about the host stadium.
And I think they're going to try to capture the atmosphere on each campus.
That's probably
as well.
That may not be a good thing. Especially Iowa, Wisconsin. That may not go well, Mark.
They claim to gather fan interaction, interview with former coaches and players on the set, and some special features at each site. So tune in for that. Again, BTN Tailgate, October 22nd in Iowa City.
Let's hope it all goes well. 15 past the hour at 3 o'clock. Coming up this Saturday, it'll be Iowa State and Texas Christian from down at Carter Stadium in Fort Worth. And that's an early start. That is a 9 o'clock start time with the pregame show here on KGYM. And it will be an 11:05 kickoff. Iowa State football for the year is presented by both Lisa Nolan, a RE/MAX Real Estate Concepts Realtor, online at Lisa Nolan Realtor, that's all one word, lisanolanrealtor.com, and Iowa State football also brought to you this year by the Quad Cities International Airport. So thanks to those folks for helping us out. And we're going to talk about that particular game. Two teams needing something good to happen Saturday. And we're going to do that with Carlos Mendez of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, and we'll do that when we come back. You're listening to the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class right here on KGYM.
Rev up for Waypoint's Gentleman Ride, October 8th. Twist the throttle at McGrath Power Sports in Cedar Rapids. Kick stands up at 11 a.m. Ride the back way to the Crooked Antler in Van Horn. Cruise through the country to Grand Central Station in Belle Plaine. Head over the hills to Beer 30 Tap in Marengo. And finish at Wild Hogs in Walford. Fee is $15 per bike or $25 for two up. And all proceeds benefit Waypoint's Domestic Violence Services. Pre-order your t-shirt now at waypointservices.org. Be part of Waypoint's Gentleman Ride, October 8th.
Come play the Wednesday game at St. Andrews Golf Club and pay no green fees. Shotgun tee-off is at 1. The cost is just $30. Individual and team play will be chosen randomly. And since there are no green fees, all the cash goes to prizes, meaning you get 100% of your money back. No green fees. No more excuses. Come play the Wednesday game at St. Andrews Golf Club. Sign up in the clubhouse before 12:30 or call that morning, 393-9915.
Sunday, an AFC North rivalry rekindled when Andy Dalton and the Bengals head to Pittsburgh to face the Steelers. Hi, this is John Sadak of Westwood One. Join Mike Mayock and me for all the action from Heinz Field. The Steelers invaded Cincinnati and won a chippy wildcard game last January. The Bengals look to exact some revenge and take an early head-to-head lead in the AFC North race. Bengals, Steelers, if it's the NFL, it's right here.
NFL football presented by Mediacom, Cincinnati at Pittsburgh, Sunday at 11:30 on 107.5 and 106.3 FM, KGYM.
Hawkeye, Cyclones, Panthers, and all the college teams in the area. If it's in the news, they'll be talking about it. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on the Gym Class, KGYM.
And we welcome you back at 3:18, Wednesday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. As we take through the 3 o'clock hour, APC to follow us from 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock coming up this evening. As we mentioned, coming up on Saturday, it's Iowa State football. Cyclones will look for their first win in the Matt Campbell era as they take on TCU coming up from Fort Worth. 9 o'clock is the pregame time with John Walters and Eric Heft. And just past 11 o'clock with the kickoff down in Fort Worth. Carlos Mendez covers the TCU Horned Frogs for the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Kind enough to join us here on a Wednesday. And how's the weather in the Metroplex right now, Carlos?
It is not too bad. It's not too bad. Good licking your wounds weather, if you ask them over there in Fort Worth.
Well, that, you bring up a good point. You got two teams licking their wounds. I think a lot of people... A lot of people thought Iowa State was probably going to fall to Iowa, maybe not by the margin, but I think there are a lot of people probably in Dallas-Fort Worth that thought TCU was going to outlast Brett Bielema's team.
Yeah, they were a touchdown favorite, and, you know, people thought that really TCU would have no problem putting points up on Arkansas, really most teams, but instead they were shut out in the first half, you know. So they went into halftime with no points, and the fact that they even managed to take a lead there late in the game was an accomplishment, but once they did that, they just couldn't close the door on things. You know, the block field goal hurt them, the celebration penalty hurt them, and then one play in overtime really hurt them. But all in all, if you look at things from TCU's perspective, from about the third quarter on, they played the game they thought they would be playing from the start. It's just that first half was so non-productive, it cost them in the end.
Well, I don't think there's any question, Carlos, that this team, I think, will produce points throughout the year. But it's the defense that I look at, granted from afar, but giving up 41 points in each of the first two games, how much concern is there there?
There's quite a bit of concern because you're really counting on that to be the bell cow of your team, something that you can expect to stabilize every game that you play, you know, while your offense does its work. You know, instead you've been behind, you know, in the first quarter, the first half of each game this year. So your offense has been playing uphill, and that's not really a good way to get things started. You know, it's also hurt that your quarterback has thrown three interceptions, one of them being a pick six. You know, that hurts you not only points allowed that you're not actually on the field for, but you're also taking the field in worse field position than you normally might. You just don't have as many yards behind you to defend. So, you know, all those things are playing a factor. They had three of their best players miss time in fall camp for various things, and so they're just not quite up to speed. Even so, you should expect something better than, you know, four or five touchdowns allowed every game. In fact, if you go back to the Alamo Bowl, the last game of last year, they've given up exactly 41 points in three straight games. Very, very unusual.
How about on the offensive side? Quarterback Kenny Hill so far, three interceptions in the first couple games. Is that something that Horned Frog fans are definitely worried about?
Yeah, because, you know, that's the one thing Gary Patterson would like is if there's something he asks this quarterback not to do, it's not to throw it to the other team. You know, you can almost shoot somebody on the field as far as he's concerned. Just don't throw the ball to the other team. Instead, it's happened three times already, and, you know, it's been costly each time. There hasn't been a freebie, one he's gotten away with. So that's the main thing to avoid there for Kenny Hill is the interceptions. The other thing is they'd like to get him off to a little bit of a quicker start. You know, he said in the first game a couple weeks ago he was a little bit nervous, and it just took him a while for things to come right back to him. Second half of both games he's played very well. He's been very productive. He's been very good with his arm, very good with his feet. He's been the Kenny Hill you sort of expect, but You know, this is still a guy that hadn't played in almost 2 years, and I think it's going to take more games than you think for him to get up to speed. You know, people around here still have a mental picture of Trevon Boykin and the amazing things he could do, and you saw it every week for 2 years. It's just, you got to remember, this is a different quarterback, a different kid, a different player.
Speaking of Hill, he came under some scrutiny for what looked like a throat slash gesture, when in reality, he says he was it was sign language to praise God. So, what about that whole situation?
I think we've lost Carlos. We'll get Carlos back.
It wasn't that hard a question.
We'll get Carlos back on the line here. 3:23, talking to Iowa State TCU football here, as Carlos Mendez joining us from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram down there. And we'll talk more about TCU football here in just a couple of moments.
We will indeed. Chance to visit our poll question at KGYMradio.com. Which Big Ten game will be this weekend's best? Would you say Michigan State at Notre Dame, Ohio State at Oklahoma, or Oregon at Nebraska? Text line, Jerry Ask Investments text line, 366-1600-3664. The biggest Big Ten game this weekend is Ohio State versus Oklahoma. It will establish Ohio State as legit and bump the Big 12 out of the playoffs.
Ah, well, we can ask Carlos that. We got him back on the line here. Carlos, you with us?
Yes. Just popped in the sonic right quick, got a drink, so I'm good.
Hey, Carlos, I was asking you about Kenny Hill, the quarterback, and he came under some scrutiny this past week or recently about what appeared to be a throat slash gesture, when in reality he said it was sign language to praise God. What do you know about that?
Yeah, that's what TCU said, is that, you know, he actually did it in both games. He did it in the first week, and he did it on the touchdown before that one last week. And it's just two symbols, two sign language symbols. You know, one is the K with your fingers, and you bring it down across your body, and then you do the sign for rising with your palm up. And that's what he's trying to do. The problem is, when you've got your finger outstretched and you've got it anywhere near your throat and you make a motion with it, you know, that's enough interpretation for any official who's looking for that, who's trained to look for that, to flag you for. That's such a no-no in the college game, you know, in the decade since that year was passed explicitly for that gesture. It's a wonder any player goes even near his throat or shoulders with any kind of hand motion. So that, you know, the problem for TCU there was, it was just bad luck. If it was true that he hadn't been called for it in previous games or previous occasions, and it just came down to very bad timing for them.
What's the ceiling on this team, do you think, knowing that Oklahoma could possibly lose its second game this coming week?
The ceiling is probably a Big 12 championship. You know, if they can get the defense to play like they think it can, and if the quarterback is as good as they think he can be, I think that's a reasonable goal, is to try to win the conference. You know, college football playoffs, I don't know. I don't know about that. You know, we've only seen two games, and they haven't been the most impressive performances, but there's still 10 games to play, and if you win them all, if you win them all and you're a Big 12 champion, certainly you're going to have a chance. You're going to get consideration. But I think that's about what they can hope for right now, is to shoot for the Big 12 title, even if they're a one or two or three loss team, is to try to win that, because I think we can all see, just judging from the first two games, the Big 12 this year has a lot of work to do to shore up its reputation. There's only one signature win out of the conference, and that was Texas against Notre Dame.
Yeah, and with that being said, Carlos, I know the on the Cyclone Network broadcast the other day after the Iowa game, Jack Whitford and Chris Williams were talking about maybe this is the year the Big 12 is down a little bit. It goes in cycles. Not every conference is going to be at the top of their game each and every year. I guess your thoughts about that. Texas did get a big win against Notre Dame. It looks like the Longhorns have got things together now under Charlie Strong. Are they the favorites, especially if Oklahoma loses at home to Ohio State this weekend?
They're the favorites as long as their quarterback plays the best. You know, the teams that have a quarterback are the ones that have a chance. And the ones that the quarterbacks can play the best, you throw the ball the best, take care of the ball the best, they're going to score points and they're going to be fine. So right now, yeah, Texas is the favorite to win the Big 12. judging from the first two games and judging from the kind of quarterback play they've gotten.
Well, it's no secret Iowa State has really limped out of the gate with including that 42-3 loss at Iowa last Saturday night. And Iowa State goes into a situation which isn't really favorable, kind of a wounded bear waiting for the Cyclones. What has Gary Patterson had to say about Iowa State this week?
Well, he likes the skill guys that got on offense a lot. He's impressed by them and their size and their ability. The question he has is who's gonna operate the offense. You know, that might tell the story of the game a little bit in terms of how, you know, TCU decides to play defense. But from TCU's perspective, they've got a lot of things to figure out first on defense. You know, the way they want to cover those guys that are. They're out there catching passes because Arkansas hurt them with size last week, and that's what Iowa State can bring to the table too. So this is going to be an interesting matchup, just in terms of almost a chess game, in terms of how a new coach with a new offense, a new scheme, and maybe a new quarterback decides to attack a coach who's trying to figure out his own pieces, especially on the back end.
Well, and Gary Patterson's such a defensive guy. I mean, this has just got to be eating at him right now with the things going on with the Horned Frog defense. Maybe Carlos went back into Sonic. Carlos, can you hear us?
Yes, I'm still with you.
Okay, there you go. I was just going to ask about Gary Patterson and the defense. It's got to be eating at him a little bit because the defense, he's a defensive guy, and things on that side of the ball haven't been as good as he would like to see in the first couple of games. I guess your thoughts about that?
Yeah, it is eating him. But, you know, this is live in the Big 12 for him. This is live since he switched offenses. You know, he doesn't get to practice anymore against teams that huddle and give him a chance to make his calls, get his people lined up. He said 2 weeks ago South Dakota State hurt him because he couldn't get his team lined up correctly. The guys were still thinking a little too much on their feet out there. And last week, I think he saw firsthand the limitations of some of his secondary players. He just doesn't have that great size this year out there. And he's still trying to break in some safeties who can run the defense for him almost like coaches on the field. You know, he lost a lot of experience when Derek Kindred left last year. And Chris Hackett the year before that, and Sam Carter in 2014. And he's missing that experience and that playmaking in the secondary. I think that's the biggest thing he would fix if he could.
Your prediction coming up for Saturday. TCU, it's an early conference game. That's the first thing. It's a little unusual because Iowa State plays a San Jose State the week after. And I know TCU plays SMU in an all-Texas battle. So it's a little bit different moving up a conference game like this. I guess what do you see coming up at Fort Worth on Saturday?
That's what Carlos has to say about that.
Carlos, you there? All right, we lost him. Back to the drive-thru,
apparently.
I'm
just going to guess he's going to pick TCU.
You think so?
I think so.
Okay. 3:31 here on the Wednesday edition of the program. And Chris Liss is going to join us coming up here in just a couple of minutes, and we will get some fantasy football talk with Chris Liss from Germany. So if you have your questions ready to go, we will give you the text line, the Jerry K. Ask text line, and we'll do that coming up here in just a little bit. Internet is exploding. The magic number is now down to 1. For the Chicago Cubs, as they defeated the Cardinals today 7-0. They can win it tomorrow night at home at Wrigley Field against the Milwaukee Brewers.
93rd win, a 7-0 shutout of the Cardinals. The Cubs take 2 out of 3 from St. Louis, and they're on the verge.
Yeah, they're going to get
a big surprise. We saw this coming for several weeks since the Cubs got off to a good start and really maintained a lot of momentum, 40 games over 500, and just a phenomenal year so far.
Indeed. Our thanks to Carlos Mendez for joining us from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram and talking a little TCU football with us. Coming up tomorrow, John Cranton's going to join us. We'll have the Carl and Ernie's Pick 6 coming your way tomorrow as well. Friday, more North Dakota State-Iowa talk coming up at that time. In fact, a lot of North Dakota State, Iowa talk, pretty much the entire program coming up on Friday will be doing that. So look forward to that. Also look forward to the APC giving you a chance to win a $30 gift card to La Cantina sometime between 4 o'clock and 7 o'clock all this week on the APC here in KGYM. La Cantina, visit one of their two locations, downtown Cedar Rapids, across from the U.S. Cellular Center, or the Lincoln View Square in Marion. You can check out their menu, hours, drink specials, everything. You can do that online at lacantina319.com. We will take a break, come back. Chris Liss will join us, and we will answer your fantasy football questions, and we'll do that when we come back. You're listening to The Gym Class here on KGYM.
With AT&T and DirecTV, I get access to tons of college football almost anywhere I want from my phone or tablet. It comes in handy when my wife makes plans for us on game days. Today we're bird calling.
Caw-caw! Here, bird!
My favorite part of bird calling is watching college football. Now I can experience the majesty of nature and keep up with all things college football all season long with AT&T and DirecTV.
AT&T, mobilizing your world.
Content channels and functionality vary by TV package, viewing location, and device. Data charges may apply. Coverage and service not available everywhere.
Summer's almost over, but we've saved the best for last at the Home Depot, where summer savings are still going strong. Right now, save up to 30% on appliance special buys like the high-efficiency Maytag steam top-load washer and electric steam dryer, just $4.98 each. Better hurry. Summer's not the only thing going fast. Come in now for up to 30% off appliance special buys. Nobody beats our prices guaranteed at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. While supplies last, U.S. only, see store for details.
Who says cars have to act their age? Gear up for fall driving this Thursday through Sunday at Firestone Complete Auto Care. For a limited time, you can save big, like $100 off any purchase of $500 or more. Firestone Complete Auto Care. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
Offer valid September 15th through 18th on any purchase. Most vehicles. In-store installation required. Maximum savings $100. $50 minimum purchase required for tiered offers. See store or driveafirestone.com for full details.
A rough-running engine could be suffering from buildup of fuel and oil deposits, but O'Reilly Auto Parts can help. Clean out engine buildup with Seafoam Motor Treatment, $7.99 each. Earn double points on this purchase during O'Rewards Member Appreciation Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Covering Eastern Iowa sports for more than 40 years combined. UNASH and Dukes. The Gym Class on KGYM.
Back at 3:35 here on the Wednesday edition of the program. Scott UNASH, Mark Dukes, Alex Kuhn, our producer. You want to have a question for Chris Liss, our next guest. Chris Liss from rotowire.com. We invite you to give us a text. You can also give us a phone call. We will get you in line if you give us a phone call at 319-366-1600 or the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line at 319-366-1600. Chris joins us from Germany here on a Wednesday. How are you, Chris?
I'm doing well. How about yourself, Scott?
I'm doing great. I had a very successful first week of fantasy football, although I went 1-1, but yeah, the big league I'm in, that you know so well, Chris, I had the second best score output of the week, but guess what?
Lost to the guy with the highest.
Absolutely. I got Minnesota Viking defensed.
Oh, that's too bad. You know, was that the one I gave you a B-plus on?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Jameis Winston is often flying to a good start for me so far. But how'd you do in your first week?
I had a great week. There's one that I had my producer draft for me, and it was terrible. We lost. Besides that, I think I went like 6-1 on the one that I drafted. I had the high score in one. I have one team with Le'Veon Bell that obviously I'm hoping to just survive the first 3 weeks. That one won. So I'm off to a good start.
I buried my opponent by 14/100ths of a point, Chris.
That's the best way. Like, don't waste any scoring.
No.
Don't use it up when you need it for next week.
Exactly. 319-366-1600 is our phone and our text line. Let's go to the phone, Scott, first.
All right. We will go to the phones, and we will bring in first Tyler from Cedar Rapids with a question for Chris. Good afternoon, Tyler.
Hi, Chris. I've got to start
one person at flex in a PPR league. I've got T.J. Yeldon, Arian Foster, or Amir Abdullah.
Those are pretty close. You can't really make the Yeldon call unless we know what's going on with Chris Ivory, and we don't really know yet whether he's going to play. He was hospitalized. We didn't really find out what it was. Fortunately, he's out of the hospital. So I would, if Ivory were not playing, I'd probably go Yeldon against the Chargers. But if he is playing, Patriots are pretty tough. I might go Abdullah against the Titans, but it's close.
Okay, thank you.
All right, appreciate it. Best of luck, Tyler. 319-366-1600 here. Go to the text line.
Couple texts, 7234. Should I stick with Jared Cook, or is Austin Seferian Jenkins a better choice going forward at tight end?
I kind of like Seferian Jenkins. I mean, it's kind of a crapshoot, right? Both of them got, like, one catch. Seferian Jenkins was a touchdown, and we know they're both kind of athletic and talented. The question is, which one is going to integrate in the offense more? I'm going to say Austin Seferian Jenkins has the better shot since he's been there a couple of years, but it's kind of 50-50.
79-66, non-PPR, Chris. I need a quarterback for Breeze's bye week. Cutler versus Colts or Osweiler versus the Vikings, both are available.
Why are you thinking that far ahead, huh? I'd go Cutler versus Colts for sure, but I think things will change between now and the bye weeks, right? And so I wouldn't start worrying about that yet.
You play one game at a time, man.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there'll be injuries. What if Alshon Jeffrey's hurt? Then you're not going to like Cutler quite as much anyway.
Same individual. Which wide receiver, Moncrief or Sterling Shepard this week?
I go Shepard. The matchups are diametrically opposite, right? Moncrief is facing Denver. And Shepard gets the Saints at home.
319-366-1600. Let's go to the phones. And let's go first to Pat in West Branch with a flex position question. Hi, Pat.
Hi, Chris. I had Keenan Allen, so I got to replace him with either Gore, Sanu, or Hearn.
Is it a PPR league?
Yes.
Yeah, Sanu's the safest, but I kind of like Hearns, especially this week. So I would go Hearns this week.
Okay, thank you.
Keenan Allen. I have him in one league, too.
Appreciate the call, Pat. Yeah, it was too bad. And the Chargers' offense was just completely 180 different when Keenan Allen went out.
That's kind of what happened last year. They were doing great. Rivers was the number two fantasy quarterback through like 7 or 8 weeks. And then he was like the number 20-something quarterback the rest of the way after Allen got hurt last year.
Yeah, so I think that unfortunately may happen again to the San Diego Chargers. Let's bring in Tori from Solon. He's got a wide receiver question on this Wednesday. Hi, Tori.
Hey, how's it going? I got a one-point PPR league, and I'm kind of debating between Dez and Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah, I mean, Emmanuel Sanders could have been huge this week if Demaryius Thomas were out. Dez is kind of hard to read. Are they going to throw him the ball? What's going on? Sanders is safer in PPR. Dez obviously has more touchdown upside. I think it's kind of a roll of the dice there, 50-50.
All right, appreciate it.
All right, thanks, Tori. Appreciate the call. 319-366-1600. What do you think about Denver with Simeon there as the starting quarterback? Thinking back to that Thursday night, good news for the Denver wideouts, or can they do better?
Bad news. He was fine. He was okay. But it's a lot of dink and dunk. It's kind of like what they do with Dak Prescott. And you just, Denver does have kind of a narrow tree. Virgil Green got a little bit, but it was mostly, C.J. Anderson and Sanders and Thomas. But, it's just hard to sustain, enough for two different receivers when you're going to throw the ball, on a pace for 450 attempts and it's all short. They need to have some downfield throws. Receivers need to get more than 10 yards, 9 yards a catch. And it was not encouraging. And I think I kind of thought this is what would happen. Even though Peyton was terrible last year, because he was Peyton, they let him do whatever he wanted, and he still went down the field now and then. The defense still respected him a little bit more, and they let him throw more. I think they're just going to hide Simeon all year, and it's going to hurt those receivers.
Back to the text line, Chris. PPR league for flex, Blunt or Allen Hearns?
In a PPR league, I'd probably go Hearns, although Yeah, I would. Miami looked pretty stout last week. I'll go Hearns.
BJ needs a flex and a PPR. Diggs or Cobb?
I'm going to go Diggs. Well, the Packers played pretty good D against the pass last week, too. It's pretty close. I'll say Diggs, but it's 50-50.
Green Bay's got to go to Minnesota Sunday night and open up the stadium up there. So the Vikings may be sky high, too. Thinking matchup.
Yeah, I don't trust Green Bay yet. I'm not sold to this Green Bay 2014. I think they need to have a really big game before they're back.
29-25. Should I start to look at Todd Gurley on a matchup basis instead of an automatic starter? Hashtag early panic.
Not yet. No. It's weird. Do you remember that late Monday night game, the second Monday night game of the opener last year, and San Francisco blew out the Vikings, and Carlos Hyde went crazy?
Yep.
Carlos Hyde had 160 yards. He's the leading rusher week one, 2015. Who knows if there's just some weird thing about that late game. I'm not really sure, but I would not be writing off Gurley just yet. Not even close.
36.95 non-PPR. Dez or John Brown?
For this week, I'm going to say John Brown this week. For the season, I think I would take Dez still.
91-21. Palmer or Ryan?
Palmer hosting Tampa, and Ryan is at Oakland. I'll say Palmer.
Doug Baldwin or Mike Wallace? That's from 1287.
Doug Baldwin. Make sure Russell Wilson's playing.
Yeah, I was going to say Russell Wilson. He says he's going to play. He tweeted out, see everybody in L.A. So sounds like he expects to play anyway.
24.
I don't know if you ever had a sprained ankle like that, but, like, you can play on it. But the second you stop, it's like, it swells up to the size of a balloon. So we'll see.
24.05, Luck or Winston this week?
They're both kind of in tough spots. I'm going to say Winston. Going to Denver is just disastrous.
Winston going into Arizona, and Arizona needs a win, too.
Arizona's
badly.
Tough, too, but I think Denver, I don't know. I could see the case for Luck. It's just Denver is, a whole different level higher, I think, in terms of pass defense.
Is there a big takeaway from a fantasy standpoint that you got from week one, Chris?
A couple things. One is I really like Devonta Freeman, and I'm really nervous about him now because I dismissed Coleman as, like, a legitimate threat. And not only did Coleman look better than Freeman, he looked better in the passing game, and that's where I thought Freeman had kind of a stranglehold. So I'm very nervous about that. I thought Andrew Luck's line protected him a lot better than did in the preseason. And with that total lack of defense, he's going to be the number one quarterback if he stays healthy, in my opinion now. Couple other takeaways. Ben McAdoo, the Giants coach, is just terrible. He tried to gift the game to the Cowboys just like Coughlin did the year before by punting on a 4th-and-1 from the 37, where 1 yard ends the game. And they were just lucky that Terrence Williams did not go out of bounds, and so they didn't get to attempt a field goal. But Ben McAdoo, I wish we could return the center. Is it too late? Can we return him? Is he within, the warranty still? Because that was a big mistake.
Hey, I will ask you this about your Giants. It was great to see Victor Cruz get a touchdown, get back into it, and look like he's ready to go. Is that going to take targets away from Odell Beckham, though?
Well, the problem is McAdoo, Beckham got 151 targets in 15 games last year, but the Giants had the 32nd ranked defense. So, of course he got targets, but I think McAdoo is like Jason Garrett, sort of that like old school troglodyte who doesn't realize the game is now a pass first game. And the thing is, they'll ignore Dez Bryant for a whole half. They'll forget that they have Dez Bryant. I think the Giants will forget that they have Odell Beckham. He had 8 targets in week one, only 4 catches. Well, one of the catches was a deep ball where Orlando Scandrick was like basically grabbing his hamstring, got so torched, and they didn't want to go back to that. Like, Ben McAdoo was trying to establish the run with their crappy running game instead of just light them up. And we'll see with the Saints. The Saints have 2 undrafted free agents playing quarterback this week. If they don't throw to Beckham 20 times, I'm getting nervous about the situation.
It'd be a shame to waste that collection of receivers, Chris. Wow.
Beckham is a top 5 all-time receiver at his all-time peak, and they're handing the ball to Rashad Jennings.
No, I agree. I agree with that.
Question from 2329. Is Jamal Charles worth trying to trade for, or does his health and Spencer Ware make him insignificant?
It all depends on what the price, right? I mean, if you can get Charles for somebody who's incredibly nervous and says, okay, I'll take, you know, I don't know, John Brown for him. John Brown's good, but, you know, okay, maybe it's worth it. If you got to pay a third or fourth round pick for him, then no, because, you know, there is real risk, but there's real upside. So it's just a question of, do you want to gamble? I mean, to me, Jamal Charles could pull a Deion Lewis where they say, oh, he needs 6 weeks. You know, I could see that happening easily.
93-55. Sammy Watkins is out. Would you start Mike Wallace or Rodgers?
If Sammy Watkins is out, I would start. I'd probably start Mike Wallace against the Browns over Eli Rodgers.
Yeah, 91-85. Needs a flex in a PPR league. T.J. Yeldon or Sterling Shepard?
If Ivory's out, you got to go Yeldon just because of volume and a weak defense. But if Ivory's playing, I would go Shepard.
Big Ben or Carr from 36-95.
I'm going Big Ben.
I started Carr over Eli and was thankful of that. 44-20. DeSean Jackson or Larry Fitzgerald in a non-PPR?
I like DeSean Jackson against Dallas, but I will go Fitzgerald.
22-35. Sanu or Thomas?
I see me thinking Michael Thomas. I think I will go Michael Thomas.
Just to let everybody know, when you put down Thomas or very common surnames, yes, it's very hard for us to do that. Please put down first names, or at least an initial.
48-15 was offered a trade, Chris. They offered Jarvis Landry and Mark Ingram for Dez Bryant. Do you take it?
Yeah, I'll take Jarvis and Ingram for Bryant, sure.
I think I would, too.
53-26, also in trade talks, is a trade for Matt Forte, giving up Latavius Murray. Worth it?
I'd rather have Forte. I think Latavius, you know, he had a great, great matchup, and he was okay. But you saw other guys do more, and I would probably rather have Forte.
0720, after week 6, standard league stash, Deion Lewis or Kenneth Dixon?
I prefer Dixon. I mean, Lewis, you never want to count on him being 100% from an injury like that. And I think Dixon could be the starter, whereas Lewis would be, you know, sort of the third down pass catcher.
23. Chris, you're really popular on this text line, I'll tell you that right now. 23-80, Winston or Big Ben?
I would go Big Ben.
At home against the Bengals.
How good are the Steelers, even without Le'Veon Bell? Wow.
I mean, without Le'Veon Bell, without Martavis Bryant, without Ladarius Green, without Marcus Wheaton, they still associate on the road.
And Heath Miller.
Yeah, Heath Miller retired, right?
Yep.
But they've got the Outlaw now. You know the Outlaws?
No. Who's the Outlaw?
Jesse James is their tight end.
Yeah. Penn State, right? Yeah.
Josie Jewell is the Outlaw around here.
Yeah.
He's a college player, Chris. I know you don't follow college, but
I don't know. I don't know what these guys are.
Like any matchups in particular this week, Chris?
I mean, the Giants-Saints one is the big over-under that kind of jumps out, but I kind of like the Jaguars this week to light up San Diego. I like Bortles.
Yeah, and who knows the mindset of San Diego? I'm not giving that game back, by the way, that the Chiefs came back in, but no Keenan Allen having to come home. You got all the questions surrounding San Diego off the field. I don't know about that. I'm worried about the Chargers right now.
Yeah, I mean, they couldn't sign their first-round pick till like, the eve of camp. And what was that all for? Just work it out so the guys in camp for you, at least. I mean, what a disastrous franchise.
How are you catching the NFL in Germany, Chris?
So it's actually better in some ways. I got this the league pass in Europe. It's 200 euros, like $223. And I can put it on my Apple TV on the big screen. And then on my laptop, I can split it into four little boxes, four different games. And you just click on it. If one goes to commercial, you can either click on one and get the volume or drag another game into the four box. And so I got four, like, secondary games, and my primary, like, Giants game on, or whatever game I want to watch. It's pretty good.
Wow.
Don't cry for Chris. He's getting things done in Germany. Hey, Chris, let us know how people can get all this information. Injuries right up to the last moment on Sunday morning. Use that all the time with the website.
Yes, thank you. It's rotowire.com/trial. We have all the news that I'm talking about and ask the experts. So if you didn't get your question in today, you can email it in on the site and they will get back to you within 24 hours. We have, you know, an article ranking everybody for the week at each position so you know who to start, who to sit. Again, it's rotowire.com/trial.
Chris, let me squeeze one more in because it's my fault I missed this, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Start two flex in a standard league. What two to start among Rawls, Vereen, and Devontae Parker?
You know, you got to sit Parker unless he's cleared, right, because he has a hamstring injury. And if Parker is cleared and they're talking him up, if it's PPR, you maybe still start Vereen over. If it's non-PPR, I would start him over Vereen. And I would definitely start Rawls either way.
Standard league, yeah.
All right, Chris, best of luck. And we will look forward to talking with you next week.
Good luck, guys. Thanks. Talk to you next week.
You bet. Chris List, rotowire.com. Reporting, he is our German reporter this year. Living in Germany, following the NFL, and doing great things with fantasy football. And Chris is, of course, he's on with us on Wednesdays. Coming up tomorrow night, NFL football, it'll be the Ryans heading back to New York, Buffalo and the Jets. And I'm not sure if it's in New York, if it's in Buffalo, but they're going to play one another. I do know that. And we will have it. And MediaCom and the NFL Red Zone, they're proud sponsors of the NFL on KGYM. And each week, the NFL Red Zone takes the guesswork out of keeping up with all the games. Thanks to them for helping to bring you NFL football right here on KGYM. We'll take a break. Come back. We will give you a Bowling Night in America preview. Week number 2 coming up.
The one thing you wish you could have is more hair. Now, Ageless Appeal Med Spa in Cedar Rapids can make it happen with PRP Hair Restoration. This new treatment at Ageless Appeal Med Spa is really taking off with guys throughout the corridor because it's easy, it's natural, there's no surgery, and it shows hair regrowth up to 40%. PRP Hair Restoration could be just what you've been wishing for. Find out. Schedule a free confidential consultation at agelessappealmedspa.com. agelessappealmedspa.com.
The Scoreboard Show, Friday nights here on the gym, is brought to you by J.D. Byrider in Cedar Rapids. Get a vehicle you can afford and depend on at J.D. Byrider and ask for the Booster Club bonus.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the Mature League, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym.
They go to the ballpark to watch the game. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, the gym class, KGYM.
Ah, yes, it's a Wednesday. It's 72 degrees. That means bowling is in the air, Mr. Mark Dukes. Not for me, but for you.
One of our fellow competitors, Warren, sent me a text to propose trade, and I missed it. I'm sorry about that, Warren.
Oh.
You can reach me on my personal line anytime. I'll pay more attention to it.
Let you know about that tonight, won't he?
I think he already has. Week 2, Bowling Night in America. We welcome back our patriarch, Rusty Swires.
Yay, Rusty!
He did a family reunion last week, missed it. Now this is his debut of the season. I think his 45th season in the Evergreen League. No, I'm just kidding.
Wow.
But it's good to have him back. I'll be anxious.
You are going to hear about that tonight.
I should, too. I'll probably hear about Tennessee winning at Bristol Motor Speedway as well. That's okay.
That's okay, because I won that on the pick six, which is coming up tomorrow, by the way.
It is. We won 3 out of 4 last week and off to a good start and hope to continue it tonight in the Evergreen League.
Absolutely. I'm going to come out there, cheer you on for a little bit.
Perfect.
Say hi to Rusty. Talk about Tennessee a little bit.
Yeah.
How things are going. Got to be happy. 2-0. We're 3-1. You got to keep these averages up, you know.
Oh, man, I'm starting out with a 209 average. That might be a little much.
What about Rod, if he's on tonight?
Rod's like 226.
I know.
He got off to a great start.
That's going to be tough to maintain, man. You got to pace yourself. It's a long year.
But... Hey, this is the time of year. Get your equipment. Go into the May City Pro Shop. Give Andy Dirks your business there. MayCityBallsCR.com is the website. Give them a call, 362-0136.
Complete wrap-up of that coming up tomorrow. The Carl and Ernie's Pick 6 coming up tomorrow, and John Cran will join us as well to talk about the NFL and college football weekend. Have yourselves a great night. Talk to you tomorrow at 3 here on KGYM.
AutoZone presents Peak Performance. Maximizing fuel economy, engine life, and overall performance doesn't take a lot. Just the bare minimum, thanks to fuel treatment and fluids from AutoZone. And right now, buy one 12-ounce can of Chevron Techron Complete Fuel System Cleaner and